not, I'm going to start reading in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. All right, our Bible says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." I'll stop reading right there. I love Christmas, as I know you do. I guess I get a little melancholy this time of year, as most folks do. I remember back, I guess, when I was maybe 4, 5, 6 years old, the Christmases that we had back then, they were so different back then. Again, I was born in 61, so we're talking about the late 60s, and I just remember Daddy going out into the, well, he didn't go out, he was riding around in the car with his pocket knife in a car, and said, you know what, the top of that tree looks like it'd be a good one for our Christmas. So he'd get out, didn't care whose land it was on, just get parked the car in the dark of night, climb about halfway up a tree and whip out his pocket knife, cut the top of the tree out, strap it to the top of the Studebaker, and off we went to the house. And we'd get out them light bulbs that some of you have no idea that they're about as big, about twice as big as my thumb, okay? And just gigantic, red, white, you know, green, and you strap them on the tree and they're so heavy that the tree droops over. Them old glass ornaments that if you drop, they shatter like a hand grenade. Some of y'all are old enough to remember this, and I remember one in particular. I think we were staying at my grandmother's house. I was probably about 6, if I remember right. And I wanted a bike with a banana seat, a banana seat, a clicker on the spokes, y'all remember those, and a sissy bar. Okay, big, tall sissy bar, because when I popped them wheelies, I wouldn't fall off the back, amen. And I remember, sure enough, getting up on Christmas morning, Grandma's house, going down there into the front room, as they called it, and there was the Christmas tree that Daddy had cut down with his pocket knife with the big bulbs on it and a blue bicycle with a banana seat and a sissy bar on it. Now, I still remember that to this day. Also that year, I got an action figure. It was not a baby doll. Okay, it was not a baby doll. Action figure, G.I. Joe. Y'all remember them? G.I. Joe. I still got him. He's in the shed somewhere. He's he's worn over the years. I remember blowing him up with firecrackers and shooting him with the BB gun, which was always fun. Amen. Just had a blast with old G.I. Joe, and he survived all these years. I love Christmas, and I know that you do. I want to share just 2 or 3 things with you quickly on this subject. Heaven's help in time of need. Heaven's help in time of need. Just, you know, I love Christmas, but everybody doesn't. This is a bad time of year for some folks. This is a bad time of year for the people that were reading about in the Bible. I was listening to the radio this week in the car, and someone called in with a question, and the question basically was this. I know why Christ was born, but why was he born when he was born? I don't have all the answers to that, other than the Bible tells us that in due time, you know, that he was born just at the right time. And I think he came at the right time, because God the Father obviously knew the right time, sent him to be born of this Virgin Mary. Let me give you 3 things quickly tonight. Heaven's help in time of need. Number 1, if you're taking notes, would you write this down? The record. Would you write that down? Now, the birth of Jesus, verse 18, Christ was on this wise. We don't have to guess about how things happen on that Christmas night. We don't have to guess about what happened to Mary and Joseph and their trip on the donkey into Bethlehem and no room in the inn and born in the stable in the manger. We don't have to guess about any of that because God has clearly put the record for us in the Bible. I remember for a long time on Christmas morning when our children were young, Stacy and Caleb, when they were young, and we had I think I'd just gotten saved. Stacy might have been about 4 years old, but our practice was on every morning before we opened any Christmas presents, before we did anything, we took our Bible out, as many of you do today, and we sat down and we read Luke chapter 2. I read it so frequently that I almost had the whole thing memorized. But just the record that God has given us of the birth of His Son, we have that for our edification, for our help, and we need to pass that down to our children. Dr. Keene, who was my pastor for several years, every Christmas would clear the platform off just about except for a rocking chair. And he'd put that rocking chair up on the platform and he'd get in the rocking chair and he'd get his Bible out and he'd invite all the children up to come sit around his rocking chair and there he would read to them. Not 'twas the night before Christmas, though I don't see anything wrong with that, but he'd read to them the record of the birth of Christ from Luke chapter 2. And I think that's a good thing that we can pass on to our children. That on the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now you know the story and I won't tell you all the details tonight. But we do know this. That back in this day the Jewish custom was to betroth one to another. And Joseph and Mary were betrothed to each other. They were to be married. Engaged if you want to. If you want to put it that way, by the way, can I interject this right here? I meant to tell you earlier and I forgot. Two things. Number one, Zach Long asked a girl to marry him. That's not the surprising thing. The surprising thing, she said, yeah. Can you believe that? She said, yeah. So Zach is engaged to Charlotte, who is a sweet girl. So that happened last night, and I want to be sure that everybody knew that you can rib him when you see him. Amen. But Joseph and Mary were engaged. Now, you have to understand this, that the angel shows up and tells Mary, Mary, you are going to be pregnant with a child. You will give birth. And she said, how can I do this? Because Joseph and I aren't married. How's this going to happen? And now, do you imagine that Joseph and Mary having to deal with that? Can you imagine the rumors? Listen, it's a good thing she wasn't born in South Georgia. Amen. She'd have been crucified within a few days. We have to be careful, by the way, about how we talk about people, about what we think about them, what we say about them. We don't know everything that's going on in their life. But God gave us the record, and the record is this, that before Mary and Joseph was married, she conceived and brought forth a son and called his name Jesus Christ. We have the record tonight that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of the Virgin Mary, and we're so glad of that. We're glad that she came. We're glad that he came. We're glad that she had a lifestyle, a testimony that was good enough that God could use her for his glory. Number two, I see this. Not only do we have the record of the birth of Christ, we have the reason. And this is the good part. Verse number 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And here's why. For he shall save his people from their sins. There's the reason. Brother Earl, why did Jesus come? Why was he born in Bethlehem? Why was he wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger? Why was his family poor? Why did Mary and Joseph have to go through all this? Why was he not raised in a palace somewhere? Why did he come in the first place? And God gives us that answer, and that answer is this, to save his people from their sins. Can I tell you something that you've already figured out in your own life, that you're a sinner, that you have done things that you're ashamed of, as have I? That I have done things that I would never confess to you because I've already confessed them to God and I've been forgiven. But why did Jesus come? Why was it necessary for him to be born of the virgin? Why was it necessary for him to grow up? Why was it necessary for God in heaven to leave his glory, come down to earth and take on flesh? Why, Brother Earl, was all that necessary? And the reason is so he could save his people from their sins. Because, see, you can't kill God because he's a spirit. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He left the glories of heaven and came down, the Bible says in John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's why He came. He came to die. He didn't come to be the king. He didn't come to be a great teacher, though He was. He didn't come to be a good example, though He was the greatest. He came to save us from our sins. Listen, if we'd have needed some education, He'd have came as a teacher, but He didn't come as a teacher. If we'd have needed some money, He'd have came as a financial guru, but that's not why He came, and that's not how He came. We're sinners, and we needed a Savior, and that's why He came, to forgive us, to wash us clean in His own blood, because that little baby in the Bethlehem manger didn't stay there. That's not who we worship, so to speak, but that little baby grew up in the home of Mary and Joseph, probably until Joseph passed away, lived, what the theologians say, some 33 years, and then one day, one afternoon, on a cross in the darkness because God the Father had turned off the lights, He died there. And He gave up His life willingly and shed His blood so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. That's what Christmas is about. Okay? Christmas is a great time of year. It's a joyful time of year. It's a wonderful time of year. A magical time, if you'll let me use that word. But the truth of the matter is this. The true meaning of Christmas is the reason that the Lord Jesus came, and that is to die on the cross so that you could have pardon of sin. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you'd go to heaven when you die, can I encourage you? That's why He came. That's why He came. I remember sitting in a church service at New Testament Baptist Church, probably around 1987 to 88, somewhere in that neck of the woods, around Christmas time. And I remember back then a very tall, slender, darker-haired Dean Herring getting up and preaching a sermon. I remember it like it was yesterday, sitting in my pew and saying, I got to do something, and getting up and walking down and just sitting on the front pew. I didn't know what to do, but I did know this, that I was a sinner, and that I deserved to go to hell, but a Christ came and took on flesh that He might die on a cross and shed His precious, precious blood that my sins could be forgiven. And it wasn't long after that that I accepted Christ as my Savior. Number one, I'm glad God gave us the record of why He came. It's not about Santa Claus, though Santa Claus is a wonderful fella. He's a wonderful fellow, but it's not about Him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also, we see the reason and the last thing, and I'm done, and that's it. We see the reward. Down in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There's the reward. There's the reward. He is with us. When I get up in the morning, He's there. When I go through the day, He's there. When now that I'm old and I take my nap in the afternoon, He's there. But even better than that, when I go through the valleys of life, and I have some, and you have some, and especially this time of year when people get the Christmas blues or whatever you want to call it, we're not by ourselves. We have Emmanuel. God is with us. When you get up in the morning, He's there. When you go through the deepest, darkest valley that you can go through. When Miss C went through the valley of losing her dear husband, He was there. When Omar buried Opa, He was there. Amen. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. And it does not matter what tomorrow may bring. I hope it's a blessing. I'm not asking God for any challenges. I don't want any. So I don't know what tomorrow might bring, but I do know this. If I wake up in the morning, that He's going to be there, because that's the reward that He has given us. We accept Him as our Savior. And then He says, Earl, I'll never leave you. I won't ever forsake you. Whatever you go through, I'm going to go through it with you. Whatever the storm brings, I'll be there for you. See, heaven knew this. God knew this, that we were a needy people. And the biggest need we had was our sin debt had to be paid. And He didn't save us and leave us. He saved us and stayed here in us to help us out. I don't know what you might be going through tonight, but I do know this, I'm done. Okay? Listen, heaven's help in time of need. Do you have any needs tonight? If you died tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven? That's why He came. And if you're saved, here's the promise. I'm with you. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, it's been a short message tonight, but I trust one I needed myself. Just a reminder that you came to save us, and we're so glad that you did. That you came, Lord, to be with us. And Lord, it doesn't matter if the world turns their back on us or our families or whomever the case may be. God, you're there, and we praise you for it. Lord, perhaps there's one here tonight that doesn't know for sure that if they died tonight, they'd go to heaven. I pray you'd speak to their heart. And like me on that certain Sunday many years ago, would you convict them in their heart? May they come forward and accept you tonight as the greatest gift that has ever been given. Lord, we trust that you'll do your work as only you can. Bless the remainder of our evening.